Blog Talk Radio.
Sun's on my back, winds in my ears.
Hello, and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm psychologist Dr. Jim Weaver, along with psychotherapist Hughes Kraft, and not couples therapist David Sanford. He is teasing us once again and will not be here this morning. But Hughes and I will be boldly going out into the potosphere once again, where no therapists have gone before, or failing that, hopefully putting the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of love, life, and the search for a decent relationship. And we will be joined once again at the end of the show by psychologist Dr. Mark Kiefner, clinical director of Bayside Neuropsychological Services. He'll be bringing us some of the cutting edge brain research called A Minute on the Mind. Good morning, Hughes.
Good morning, Jim. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Very good.
Great.
Actually, I had to switch studios this morning because they're doing some construction outside of where I usually do the show. So running around here trying to get things done in a new place. Talk to David. I think you have too. He'll be with us next week. He promises for sure. So what a tease that guy is.
I know. From his own disclosed locations. Well, we're getting closer to him. We're getting closer to having him on the show, so that's exciting. That's great.
Yeah. So today's topic is dirty fighting and fair fighting. So let's talk about that. Do you have some candidates for good ways to fight dirty?
Well, are we going to talk about dirty fighting first? Because I think that's great. You know, what is a dirty fight? Well, you know, it's not following the rules. It's maybe kind of doing a little mud flinging. I don't know, curse words.
Yep.
What's dirty fighting?
Mud slinging. I like that one. Yeah.
Blindsiding. Go ahead.
Well, that's good. Blindsiding. I like that.
Blindsiding somebody when they're not looking. You know, using a larger weapon than what the other side may be using. That's dirty warfare for certain.
Yeah. Yep.
Not following the rules of engagement. So, yeah.
Yep. Yep. Picking fights when somebody's really tired or, you know, has just had some other draining experience where they're not at their best. There are lots of ways to get an advantage. Mudslinging, name calling. John Gottman, who's done a lot of research on couples, has something he calls the four horsemen of the apocalypse for couples. And one of those is contempt. So name calling is bad. Name calling with contempt is the worst. In fact, Gottman says that that's almost a guarantee that the relationship is not going to last very long. So if you don't want your relationship to last, that's a good one to throw in there, some contempt for your partner.
What do we actually mean by contempt, though? I'm having a hard time figuring out how that may apply in like a relationship piece.
Sarcasm, cynicism, things like sneering, mockery, hostile humor.
Okay. It's kind of like hidden anger in some way. It's just kind of, I have it out for you, and I'm not going to be really obvious about it.
Well, it can be obvious or not obvious, but the issue is so much clear disdain for your partner. It's like you don't value them as a human being.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, not good. Overreacting is another one. You know, like you were saying, I think just a minute ago, you know, about intense reactions that are way above what the other person is reacting with, and you know, justifying with, hey, you know, emotions aren't rational. You know, I can be as wild and crazy and out there with my reactions as I need to be or want to be. Rather than this is a relationship where we need to have some respect for each other and care and concern for the other person. You know, if your overreaction is flooding me, then we've got to find a way so that I can, you know, I can participate here too.
Yeah, and a lot of times with that overreaction too, one is trying to control the conversation, possibly by kind of, you know, either by bringing in too many items or by raising the voice level or whatever. But, you know, it can be a kind of a way of gaining the upper hand in the conversation as a way of ensuring victory, you know. And,
right.
And if a relationship is heading into a dirty fight, you know, it usually means there's got to be a loser, also a winner, and there's a lot of can be invested in trying to win at the demise of the other or the contempt of the other person. So, you know, you got to be really careful about, you know, am I out to win this, or am I out to process something or kind of, you know, educate the other person about some feelings that I have and be able to listen to what they have to say too.
Right. I mean, one of the hopefully not dead horses that I beat all the time is trying to get to a win-win situation, that you really care that your partner comes out of this feeling like they are winning in this discussion also. If you're just in to win and the other defeat the other person, you got to really look at that. Another one of the four horsemen for Gottman is criticism, and I think another way to really fight dirty is to use all you statements. You know, to really focus on the other person, everything about them. Not that this is a conspiracy between the two of you in terms of lots of these conflicts that come up, and that you both have equal responsibility to be solving this problem. I mean, you have to go into a discussion with the idea that you really want to solve this problem. And that you're going to come up to a mutually satisfying solution.
Sounds like a lot of work so far, Jim, but what are the other horsemen?
we're all about work.
I just want to win, put that notch in my belt, and get on with my life, huh?
You know, yeah, but I think there are people that actually feel that way because they're scared about the opposite. It's if I don't win, I lose.
Right.
And so that is so scary that it really does seem like almost a life or death situation.
I was just saying, you know, we're just challenging that mindset, that win-loss mindset here by having this conversation. We're just challenging that there is other ways, the win-win. So, yeah, go ahead with the third one.
Defensiveness. You know, no matter what somebody says to you, you know, don't take it you know, a legitimate critique, but find all the kinds of ways you can to get out of it, to you know, be defensive about it and not respond to that. So, and the fourth one is somewhat similar to that. It's stonewalling, you know, tuning out, going away, not responding, you know, just ignoring the other person, anything you can do to not make legitimate or not take seriously what the other person is talking about. So those are four bad things, those four horsemen. they don't project to a good prognosis for a lasting happy relationship. Speaking of happy, one of the things that you can do to not fight fair is to insist that your loved one make you happy.
Right.
You know, I'm not happy, and it's your fault.
If only you would do this, I would be happy. Therefore, it's all your
exactly.
fault.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And this isn't about a partnership in terms of how we can do this better or do this differently, but let's fix you, because you are obviously the source of all my troubles and all my unhappiness, and you are the key to my being happy. So get with it, my friend.
Okay, a couple other ways that people fight dirty. One is just bringing in a lot of stuff from the past. You know,
exactly.
if we're fighting about something from earlier this morning or, you know, yesterday, and I start loading up the conversation with things that didn't happen or happened last week, last month, last year, boy, that conversation can get really nasty quick. So, yeah, just kind of, you know, bringing up the past, bringing up your in-laws. No, I'm just kidding about that. The other one, don't bring up the in-laws. The other one that you lightly touched on was sarcasm, and I just wanted to read the definition of sarcasm because I think it's so powerful. A sharp and often satirical or ironic utterance designed to cut or to give pain. That's a pretty strong definition, and for me that means there's a lot of unprocessed anger going on in the relationship, and you know, sarcasm is a way of throwing some maybe humor or, you know, some indirectness in there, and it lands like an arrow, but, you know, it's kind of wrapped up with some sweet smiles or something. And, so it's a dirty way to fight as well.
Right. And what's so insidious about that is that a lot of people do it with deniability. Oh, I was only joking. You know, I didn't really mean it, you know.
You're so sensitive.
Great. Absolutely. Excellent one. Yeah. Was,
right.
You know, quickly switch the blame and the focus to the other person, which is another way of dirty fighting. And you know, what you were saying a minute ago about bringing up all kinds of stuff from the past, another helpful hint, if you're going to fight dirty, is to save some stuff up. You know, keep nursing it and keeping it to yourself for that special time when you can really spring it on somebody all at once, all of it together, all the stuff that you've saved up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other opposite of that, or kind of linked to that, is a lot of folks will get to a point in the fight when they can't figure out where to go, or they lack the resources to take it any further. So they go to the kind of the nuclear bomb. Well, maybe we should just get divorced then. Or, you know, maybe.
Oh, that's a great
over.
One, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like, talk about not moving in a direction of solving a problem by just kind of throwing
right.
that, you know, well, this is never going to work. We should just kind of leave each other. Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
that was a great way to dirty fight. You know, if you're not going to, you know, do it my way, this is totally over. So you better shape up. Another good one is being brutally honest. Okay.
Mm.
You know, oh, I'm just being honest. Well, there are ways to be honest that can be constructive, and there are ways that to be honest that can be destructive. And if your partner is getting wounded by your honesty, sometimes it's their problem in terms of being defensive and not being able to take in some fair responses from you. But sometimes it may be the way that you are couching your honesty. You know, if your spouse says, you know, how do I look in this dress? And you say it makes you look like a beached whale, that may be honest. But you know, it's too brutal. It's too brutally honest. It's obviously using a lot of sarcasm and hyperbole. But if you say, you know, that dress, I don't think flatters you and really brings out your best quality and your real beauty, might be a better way to say that. Still, you might get a defensive reaction, but
yes.
At least you're trying to be honest and trying to be sensitive about it.
Many lessons learned the hard way, huh?
Yeah, really. Another really good one is dissecting every word the other person says. You know, what do you mean by that? Or you said that this way, or, you said nice to see you to that girl. What do you mean by nice to see you? really not talking about, oh, I'm feeling insecure, I'm feeling jealous, trying to play super mean Sherlock Holmes on your loved one. So.
Oh, good one. That's a good one. I've never thought about that one.
Yeah, really? In what way? Tell me more.
Well, just the nitpicky. There's a nitpickiness that goes along with that, you know, just kind of grinding one down, you know. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? You know, it's almost like, well, what are you really looking for? You know,
right.
What's really the anger? What's the message behind the message there? So, yeah. Boy, we're spending a lot of time with, how to fight fair or unfair, dirty fighting.
Right.
I'm wondering, should we switch over to the healthy side, or are we going to stick with the dirty fighting and follow up with healthy fighting in another show?
Well, let's talk about dirty fighting.
Yeah. Because obviously there's a lot here.
Right, yeah. You know, just like always, we can't cover everything, but we work hard to try and do. Sure, let's switch to fair fighting. What are some of the things that you need to do to fight fair? The first thing I think is to go into something calmly, as calmly as you can, and try to remain calm. You know, if you start out really tense, and you know you have a lot of anger built up, it's going to be so much harder not to be tempted by all these things that we just listed.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is, express your feelings in words, not in actions. You know, really try to communicate what's going on with you with words, because your actions, you're trying to send a message, but man, that can be misinterpreted, and usually it's a very crude, blunt instrument.
Talk about feelings, okay. One for me is thinking about, and I think this is so silly, but you know, when nations fight each other, they actually have rules that they have to go by in war. And I kind of think of it, there's rules of engagement. And I think it would be good at a non-time of conflict for folks to sit down and kind of list down what are going to be the rules of engagement for times when we do have conflict in our relationships. And, you know, it could even be posted on the refrigerator or something if it needed that much evidence to it. But, things like the kind of stuff we've been hinting at, like no name calling, don't use sarcasm, don't bring up things from the past, don't, go to the past and hold on to that, single item issue kind of stuff. So just, you know, rules of engagement to fight by.
Yeah.
Might be really helpful.
Deal with only one issue at a time. I mean, really try to decide, you know, what issue you want to deal with, and what resolution, what kind of solution you want to get to, and stay focused on the solution, stay focused on that issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anytime you're thrown in a whole bunch of stuff, it gets confusing, it gets unfocused. You get into those issues that really spike you emotionally, and the issue that you came in with is long forgotten. So you got to be careful about that.
Mm.
Another way is to not generalize, you know, avoiding words like never or always. Usually those aren't accurate. They aren't true. But you use them to gain a psychological advantage. You never... Oh, well, okay, is that really true? And if you focused a little bit on some of the times that he or she does do that, it'll help you calm down. It'll put the other person less on the defensive. Much, much more fair way to fight.
Yeah. Another idea is permission on either side to call a timeout if things are escalating in a very negative direction, that either party has the ability to put their hands up into a T and kind of call a timeout. And I think the important piece with that is to have a name when you're willing to come back to the table for discussion. A lot of people can feel abandoned if someone kind of says, I need to go for a walk, and leaves. The person can be left hanging there saying, oh, this is never going to end. So it could be helpful to kind of say something like, you know what, I can't deal with this right now. Can we get back to this in 2 hours? Can we finish this up tonight? I'm not feeling safe. I'm feeling overwhelmed. But just put some, you know, ideas about when to come back to the table around that as well.
Yeah, I think both sides know when you're flooded, know when you're overwhelmed, know when your emotions or your anxiety is getting out of control, and ask for a timeout, and the other person, you know, as you say, allow that person to retreat with dignity. The person who's calling a timeout or whatever needs to take the responsibility for how and when you're going to get back to that, because otherwise
right.
it can you know, mask for a cop out in terms of.
I was just thinking, and linked to this, to set up a time frame. Hey, let's talk about this for a half hour. Let's talk about this for an hour, and couch it after that. If it feels like it's a successful conversation, sometimes people go on and on and on, and it becomes the relationship. You know, it's kind of like a running conflict versus, you know, building on the other positive stuff in the relationship or experiences. So to put a time frame around the discussions.
Right. Another thing is to keep it private. Make it private, keep it private. You know, don't fight in front of your kids. You know, don't fight in public. What you talk about intimately with each other is, you know, confidential and between the two of you, so that you don't feel like you're going to be mocked in public about that, or mocked in front of your in-laws or whatever about that. You know, not that you say, okay, everything we talk about is secret and you can't talk to your friends or other people about it, but have some consideration for privacy and confidentiality.
Going in the other direction from that, sometimes it's helpful
sure.
to get out of the house and maybe go to a public place like a restaurant or a coffee shop and have a discussion. Because sometimes that can moderate the you know, kind of keep people in bounds relative to their voice tones, and, you know, we're in a public place, so we need to be a little bit more civil to each other. Sometimes having a conversation in the home where there's been a lot of conflict and fighting only sets up a precedence for more fighting. So sometimes getting out of the box can be helpful too. So, you know, just be mindful.
Yeah, especially if you're having trouble kind of keeping it contained. Some external constraints on you, like a restaurant, excellent idea. So you have to sort of, you know what the things are that you need to get to that solution that you need about an issue, and if having some external constraints helps one or both of you, absolutely do it.
Hey, I'm looking at the time. I'm wondering if is it time for our minute on the mind, or
you're really itching for that minute on the mind?
Well,
I am too, actually, and son of a gun, Dr. Mark Keithberry is here. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Hughes. How are you guys?
Good morning.
Good.
I felt for a moment like you were reading my minute on the mind.
No. Oh, no. Did
Which
we step on
weird.
Your stuff?
No. Actually, I got here kind of late. I didn't really hear you guys, so I thought maybe I would just chip in on a little bit about the physiology of anger. And then throw in a little Star Trek along the way.
Right.
Oh, excellent.
there was a great example. I watched the new Star Trek movie last night. There's a great example of fighting dirty in the Star Trek movie, where when you attack a person's particular hot button, you can even make a Vulcan lose their temper. So, yeah, it's true.
Got to see that movie now.
You've got to see that movie. But if Kirk can do that to Spock, imagine what some poor guy could do to his wife.
Yeah, or vice versa.
Or vice versa. Yeah, exactly. And what you can see is how that kind of hot button, that threat, really pumps up the adrenaline, which then, of course, pumps up the cortisol. And then the next thing you know, you're in a state where you really cannot think. The interesting thing is that anger response styles are learned. And so if you happen to have been blessed with unusually calm parents, you may have learned to manage this in a different way. But most of us didn't get those people as our folks, as our parents. And so most of us learned that an attack requires an angry response. And so the good news is that if you can learn it, you can unlearn it and learn something different and replace it with some new learning. So, but trying to do that, of course, in the midst of the dirty fighting is pretty difficult. Did you guys talk about some of the examples of dirty fighting?
Oh, we did. We really, really went into them. But if you've got some any special ones that you particularly like, go ahead and share them.
No. I think that the one I really like the best is when you wait until about 11 o'clock at night when you're really, really tired and then just at that point go, I've been meaning to talk to you.
I'm really upset about something.
I really
we have to talk about it now.
Exactly. That's a surefire trick.
Yeah.
And then
that's an excellent one.
The other one that's always good is the one where you go always. But I imagine you guys already talked about that, the always response. Yeah. So
You never.
Yeah. You've never once done anything good for me.
Hey, listen, we've got a caller. I'm not sure whether they're not asking to talk. If you want to chime in with a question, raise your little hand. What do you do, press 1 or something? But we're running out of time, so do it quick. They're not doing that, so they're just listening. Okay. How should we wrap up here? I guess with an admonition to people to... fight dirty if you really want to ruin your relationship. That's a great technique. But if you really want to improve and save your relationship, try some of the fair fighting techniques. Any
and
other
you
things
guys
that you
have
guys
one or two of those you want to review just quick?
I think the first thing is to go into it calm and try to stay calm. As you're talking about this, and if your button gets pushed, like you said, Mark, try to find ways to keep yourself or get yourself back to an even keel, because talking about those things when you're charged, when your buttons have been pushed, is too much of a temptation to go for the dirty tactics.
And I might add to that just really quickly that those brain chemicals that are secreted when you get angry actually stay in your brain for hours to days. And so it's often difficult to take care of that stuff immediately. It's best to wait some time.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't realize that. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, learned something. Okay, guys, we're just about out of time, so looking forward to talking to you next week. Mark, you're not going to be here next week. That's correct, right?
I won't be here next week, but I know you guys will do a great job without me.
Are you sure?
I'm positive, man. Okay. See you later. Bye.
Have a good week, gentlemen.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's Megan Jo Wilson to take us away.
Together, long day at work you leave behind. My bones are aching, your back is tired. Hold me close and let the pain unwind. And we walk together down the street. We used to walk so many times, Lord. And you take my hand, put it in your jacket pocket. And Bye.